Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Now, got something to share with you that hopefully it can be some encouragement to those who feel isolated and longing for real, genuine fellowship with others in the faithful remnant body of Christ. Many saints today scattered abroad feel isolated. We can certainly identify with that. But I am more and more convinced of the necessity of seeking wisdom, knowledge, and understanding with fresh life from the God who is life and the source of grace, whose name is called the Word of God. It is God Almighty who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. If we would ask wisdom of him and receive it by faith that is based upon his integrity, as we go to that more sure word written in the King James Version Holy Bible. In searching the scriptures, there are many dark and deep mysteries in almost every page, and now it also becomes much more clear that it was all written particularly and especially for us. For every day it's more clear that the mystery of iniquity is full, and the effect of every vision is now at hand. And 1 Corinthians 10:11 tells us now. Now. What time is it? Now. It's now time. The effect of every vision is at hand. Now. And 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. No one has ever looked at those words or thought on those words with more reason to believe they are particularly applied to us than those who would look at it today. When one looks at the judgment of good men who have written comments on the Word of God, 90% of the time, you do not get that satisfactory information you're seeking after. Sure, they've consulted with the ancients that went before and the so-called church fathers and have given up their own judgment to them. But the truth is that they stay on the same path which keeps things mysterious, which those now, in this time, have reason to see more clearly and more surely. The commentators could not see what we now may see. The commentators just are a means to have the old light, which was much more dim than now, revived. The commentators have very little new light brought forth and set before us. And the reason is because instead of seeking to God by prayer, they rest satisfied with the opinions of others, as if all wisdom had centered in the ancient fathers. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. John 4:35. The color of the fields is important. They are white already to harvest. The Lord had begun his good work in that poor woman at Jacob's well. She came to draw water, and he spoke to her of living water, namely the Holy Spirit and his grace. The apostles imagined that the Lord was hungry and weary, and they pressed him to eat. Yeshua quickly moves their attention from the natural to the spiritual provision, saying, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And then he told them that his meat was to do the will of him that sent him, and to finish his work. He spoke of both natural and spiritual water, and of literal and spiritual food. The poor woman, knowing that her innermost soul had been searched, and her hidden works of darkness brought fresh to her mind and memory, and set before her eyes, was so bewildered that she forgets her pitcher, and ran into the city. And in a great hurry she cries out, "Come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is this not the Christ?" And this outcry of this local woman of reputation quickly gathered a multitude of people, and they flocked out of the city in great numbers to see and hear as this poor woman had done. And when the Lord saw this multitude coming forth, he asked, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then come harvest?" Now most people believe that Yeshua had spent 8 months in Judea since the last Passover, which he had kept at Jerusalem. And that meant that in about 4 months more, the next Passover would come. And at the same time, one of their harvests would come, the barley harvest. So he spoke of harvest in the literal sense, and then he also brings in the spiritual harvest sense. "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Do you also recall how the Lord spoke regarding the generation which would see the end of the age signs? Luke 21:28. "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Look up, lift up your heads, your faith is being confirmed. I hope you don't miss this. Your faith is being confirmed by what you see happening. And at the same time, do not forget the fields are white for harvest. But the fields that he was talking about, they were not cornfields. No, he didn't mean cornfields. For if there were 4 months to harvest, the corn must have been just newly up out of the ground. And therefore, it was going to be very green and by no means white. And if the ground was really white, the sun must have scorched and burnt up the green blades of corn. And so if they would be white, there would be no harvest of corn at all that year. So it's clear by the white color that he mentioned that the thing we should understand is that he was speaking of a harvest of souls, a large crop of elect sinners. Yeah, he came to save sinners. People that can't think that they are a sinner or think that they have somehow stopped being a sinner because they got saved, they need to be born again. The spiritual harvest was already white and ready to be harvested. There's a harvest at the conversion of souls. The sharp sickle of the gospel cuts men off from that old stock of self-righteousness and fleshly confidence, and gathers them out from among the wicked. Harvest brings them into the bond of the covenant, and they become bound up in the bundle of life with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into that harvest." Wherever and whenever the gospel comes in the power of it, it is then time for men to sow to themselves in righteousness and to reap in mercy. Hosea 10:12. And when these spiritual seasons are over, when the gospel in the power of it is removed, we may mourn, as the prophet does, Jeremiah in chapter 8, verse 20, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Sometimes the harvest refers to the end of the world, and when the godly will be gathered and separated and protected by God out of the surrounding terrors. The harvest also means this world, and the wicked Antichrist men of it will have no gain left. It will be a field of stubble, the refuge of the harvest, and nothing else. Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day cometh that shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. It shall leave them neither root nor branch. Malachi 4:2. This too is a sense of the word harvest that Yeshua gives in answer to the disciples when they ask him to explain the parable of the wheat and the tares. He said that the sower, he that soweth the good seed, is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that has sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Now these fields are said to be white, which is the general color of rye or wheat or barley when the corn is full, when the sap of the straw is dried up, and when the straw and the ear are changed by the heat of the sun. But these fields were Samaritans. And what were they? Why, they were a mongrel people, partly Jew and partly heathen. The king of Babylon had sent the 10 tribes into captivity, and then he repeopled this land from his dominions with people from different nations, which were all idolaters. And Sanballat, the governor of Samaria, built a temple in opposition to that at Jerusalem, which drew many of the backslidden Jews to this idolatrous mixture. The Samaritans were this mixed multitude that the Jews looked upon to be no better than devils. In John 8:48, it says, "Then answered the Jews, and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and hast a devil?" So, how then should we understand this color white in such a dark bunch as the Samaritans? If you see it, then you see why the Christian thing is to give the Muslims the gospel rather than thinking it's right to bomb them to hell. However, the Jewish mindset regarding the Samaritans at that time was that they were the worst of sinners. And true, it really is that all sin is the work of darkness. And indeed, the Samaritans, like the Muslims, walk in the ways of darkness. By nature, by training, and by practice, they're as dark as the tents of Kedar. We may also be sure that the blackness and darkness forever is reserved for such sinners, if they die in such a state without the gospel. And all this is true. And worse things could be said of such sinners. And yet Yeshua, who is a better judge of these things and of these colors than we are, could see something white in them that we probably could not have seen. Sinners are said to be white when they are cleansed from sin. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And someone might ask, were these sinners in a pardoned state, or had they received the knowledge of salvation by the remission of their sins? No, they had not. But Messiah was their security. He had begun seeking them. Samaritan, Muslim, self-righteous, self-justified, in need of being born again Christian, all will either have their sins placed to his account, trusting in his atonement, his righteousness, and empowered by his Holy Spirit, or else, period. There's no other way for anyone, period. Colossians 2:11, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. In this sense, we should be able to see what the Lord saw, that they were white. Though the great atonement was not yet applied to them. And the same was true, and perhaps some see this more clearly in Acts in the 10th chapter, where Cornelius was ordered by an angel to send for Peter. And Peter is previously prepared for this by a vision from heaven. A sheet appears to him that's filled with all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air, and a voice came to him saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." To which Peter objects, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice answered, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." Acts 10:15. Those who say that Peter's vision did away with God's instructions for clean and unclean food are to be pitied. The centurion's house full of Gentiles was no more converted at this time than the Samaritan multitude were at the coming out of the city. And yet, the heavenly voice told Peter that God had cleansed. That's past tense, brethren. Had cleansed both Cornelius and his Gentile friends. And therefore, these must not be called common, but rather uncommon, and men to be wondered at, like in Zechariah 3:8, "Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch." Hallelujah. And in the same sense, these Samaritans were white and ready to harvest and only wanted cutting off from the old stock and being gathered from the stubble and to be accepted by God in Messiah. And they, by receiving his grace in repentance, just like the born-again people who need to be born again, would then be at once complete in him. When Yeshua saw this multitude of Samaritans coming out to him, though he was very hungry, and his disciples, knowing this, prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." Yet he would not. But he told them he had meat to eat, which they knew not of. "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, which is the conversion and redemption of sinners." And now, recall that meeting with Peter at Cornelius's house. And as the man from Cornelius drew nigh unto the city of Joppa, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That's about noontime. And he became very hungry, just as Messiah surely was hungry at that well of Samaria. And while they made ready for Peter, he fell into a trance. And then came the vision and the voice, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter was very hungry, so was Messiah. Peter would likely have eaten, but Messiah would not. Peter was offered to feast upon the conversion of the Gentiles, and Messiah's meat was the conversion of the Samaritans. Elect sinners are said to be white when God separates them from among the ungodly. And brethren, many today are feeling the isolation. There's a heart cry for fellowship with brethren of like precious faith. And I hope this encourages you. Keep the main thing the main thing. Your main fellowship now needs to be with the one whose name is called the Word of God. God is separating. And make sure God does the separating and not us be separating ourselves. You separate yourself, it's not the Holy Ghost. No. You better make sure God is the one doing the sanctifying. Make sure you're not doing a Jude 19, thinking you're holier than thou. No, you don't want to go there. God will also gather his people. God is going to separate his people. Make sure God does the separating, and he will do the separating. God will also gather his people. And it is a time now, brethren, to gather with him. And yet that gathering will be by sound doctrine. So you better understand that the gatherings will not be large in a time when men will not endure sound doctrine. Trust that as you are faithful where the Lord has planted you, that he will gather you with his people. The chosen Samaritans were white. The chosen Muslims were white. The born-again Christians that need to be born again, if they will find his grace in repentance, will be white. They were chosen in Christ and set apart for God and separated from all others in the purpose of God and in the decree of election by his grace found in repentance. Jude begins and addresses his epistle to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. The elect are called Messiah's seed and offspring before conversion. Isaiah 44:3 really nails that. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessings upon thine offspring. The color of these fields is their sanctification and cleansing in the eternal purpose of God. And the voice spake unto Peter again a second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And Peter afterwards testified that God had showed him that he should not call any man common or unclean. Yes, God had sanctified and cleansed, past tense, though the atonement had not been applied, nor was the Holy Ghost yet given to renew them. However, they were not common things, but very uncommon. And they were not to be called unclean, for the voice said that God had cleansed them. Do you see that? Past tense. God had cleansed them. Messiah appears in the presence of God for us, and they were completed in him, and without fault before the throne. Yes, God said so. That is God's word. And who is the best judge? So if carnal reasoning and unbelief in us tells us some other story, different from this, we will still be wise to believe God's word and God's testimony to be more sure and absolutely true. And that's why we need this more sure word more than we need this fellowship we so desire. It'll come in time. Trust God for that. That which makes red as crimson or black as night sinners white, that which turns those sinners white, is the imputation of Messiah's righteousness. No, it's not our sacramental observance. It is not our church attendance. It is not our Torah observance, not our rabbinic observances. It's not our good works, and it is not our vain self-righteousness, our rationalizations, and our self-justifications. It must and can only be the best robe, the wedding garment, and the clean linen, white and clean robe of his imputed righteousness. But then these Samaritans and Cornelius's company were no more justified at this time by faith than they were purified by it. And yet our Lord says they were, past tense, were white. And even white in this sense, for Messiah was set up from everlasting and made of God unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And if they were cleansed and clean in him, then it must be just in him. See, they must also, if they're clean in him, they must also be just in him. And otherwise, we put asunder what God hath joined together by separating sanctification from justification. But Christ is not divided. Christ is made of God unto us all these things. That includes sanctification and justification, see. They were in him, and their sins were upon him, and their sentence was borne by him, and his atonement and his obedience were theirs according to God's counsel and covenant. And that is why Yeshua speaks of them not as in themselves, for hell itself cannot be more black than the self-righteous sinner. But Messiah considers them in himself, and in him they were all pure, fair, not common, not unclean, and there was no spot in them. Look, behold, I say, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The word of God is compared to arrows sometimes, a hammer, a fire, a sword with two edges, and to a sharp sickle, which is to gather and cut. The gospel is not to make you feel good until it has cut to the heart. How dreadful is our hopeless, sinful state. And then, and only then, does it become the answer to the otherwise unsolvable great problem of every human being. And this is the use of the gospel. It is to gather poor sinners to Messiah, who only is the church's head. Sorry, Mr. Pope. Sorry, Mr. Rabbi. Sorry, Mr. Poobah. The position of head has been filled, and you need not even attempt to apply. Yeah, you too, Pastor. Yeah, you too, Prophet. Yeah, whoever you are, that position of head has been filled. God only is the Father, Master, and King of his own house. God has made us accepted in the Beloved. This sickle is to cut down the best and the worst among men. Oh, I'm going to say it again. This sickle is to cut down the best and the worst among men, and to cut him off from the old stock on which he grows, and from among the stubble to which he is attached. A sheaf in God's harvest is a cluster of believers in the bond of peace and enclosed in the love of Messiah. Do y'all know the term shocking as it applies to harvest? This may be a shock to a bunch of folks. Shocking the sheaves is to be setting them up in tins. Ah, yes, that's shocking, isn't it? Even that old harvesting term, shocking, shows that they are the tithes of our great high priest. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. The shocking of the sheaves is the last work in the field. And we'll say it again. The shocking of the sheaves is the last work in the field. So hang on to him, all of you isolated saints scattered abroad. The shocking and the gathering is coming. If this shocking thing is shocking to you, yeah, about the tithe, I encourage you to read the best article that I know by Brother R.W. on the subject, yeah, returning to the Lord. If you've not read that subject, Returning to the Lord, on the Great Joy and Great Tribulation website, it's the best I've ever seen on it. And you need that. Yeah, maybe you need to be shocked, and it'll shock you. I wonder why things ain't going right? You might get shocked. Shocking is the last work in the field, to prepare the crop for being gathered into the barn. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this, we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good housing. Hallelujah. And know thou it for thy good housing. Hallelujah. Harvest time. Many will not be shocked until the shock of finding it is too late. Harvest time. Gather the wheat into my barn. John 4:36-38. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true: one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men have labored, and ye entered into their labors. I have sowed, and ye have reaped. For the time cometh when he that soweth and they that reap shall both rejoice together. Hope you got ears to hear this. And if you've not read that article of R. Davies, Returning to God, it may be a must read for you. And you'll be shocked. But bless God, that's the last thing that needs to happen. Hallelujah, before you gathered it. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.